You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, the Trend Zone.
Hello, welcome to the Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave. We're the football dudes. And yep. Dave, I got a question. Are you ready, brother?
You got that right, my friend.
All right. Our next stop is the Trend Zone. In today's episode, we check in with the top three quarterbacks from the 2020 draft.
Oh, yeah.
And see if there might be just a little buyer's remorse, maybe. There might be a new King of the Hill on Bourbon Street, Dave.
Oh.
And two teams pursue the perfect season, still alive. And, of course, a little Survivor, our fantasy go-back starts of the week, and some of the most awesome games from the upcoming week. But, Dave, before we get to all that, tell me you got a tasty nug for the peoples.
Delicious nug, of course, Casey, for the peeps out there. Through the first 11 weeks, Casey, up till now in the season, 23 of 32 teams either in first place or within 3 games of first place. That's with 6 games left. Anything could happen. You could still win your division. In fact, in 5 of the 8 divisions, that's in the AFC, the East and the South, the NFC, the East, South, and West, the difference between first and second, no more than a game and a half. So you're within striking distance in a big way in at least 5 of the 8 divisions, Casey. And, man, there's a lot of divisional stuff coming right up, especially bunched up at the end. You know, you win the right games at the right time, bam, you got the division, baby. And that could be the difference between playing a road game or hosting a playoff game.
Oh, man, there's some good football to be played coming up in these final few weeks, Dave.
Oh,
all
man.
Right. Got a little bummer to start this thing off according with some injuries here. The Who Days are mourning right now, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the only good news is they got their man, and they love Joe Burrow down there. He's had a phenomenal rookie season, but he was getting beat up, Casey, and this was the thing that was kind of feared, I think, from a lot of people. It's a torn ACL, it's a torn MCL, other structural issues. I mean, the information coming out after the MRI, just really, really disappointing. And a really exciting rookie season in 10 games, over 65%. Nearly 270 yards per game, 13 TDs, just 5 picks, almost a 90 passer rating on the season for a rookie on the Bengals, you know, who have been awful. But like I said, some of us feared this was coming, Casey. He was sacked 32 times on the season and hit 72 times. I mean, you can't get a guy banged up like that. He was on pace to be sacked more than 50 times in the season.
Ugh.
That's only happened 5 times, and on that list is like David Carr. Yeah, and like, I mean, seriously, it's just guys who were ruined by the lack of protection. Man, you can really get a guy just too beat up. Not just physically, but the way, you know, then the way he approaches things, you know.
Totally. Let's hope he bounces back stronger than ever. And go ahead, dial in Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon. I think since he has got their pick already dialed
in. You got to protect them, man, moving forward. Committing to the line has got to be of the utmost importance.
Well, Dave, speaking of high draft picks, it looks like it was back into the tuna net for Tua.
Nice, Kurt Casey. Way to throw that together there. You know, of course, what you're referring to, Casey, is that he was benched due to performance against the Denver Broncos. But you know what? Going to Denver and getting your butt kicked, that's no shame right there, none at all. And they really didn't get their butts kicked. They were just down by a touchdown when they finally benched him. But he was 11 for 20. He only had 83 yards passing. So, and he was getting pounded. 6 times he was sacked, you know. And he was only sacked 4 times in the first 3 starts combined. So he was accustomed to some nice comfort level back there. He was not getting that in Denver. It was a nasty day all around.
Yeah, dude, that pass rush for the Broncos was ridiculous there.
Ferocious.
They were giving him all kind of fits. But good news for Tua, he's supposed to start next week, and they got the New York Jets. So it's looking up, Dave.
Soft landing.
Yeah. All right, Dave, terrible haircut, but great play for your guy Herbert.
Yeah.
He's continuing to impress, dude.
He has been amazing. And, you know, the win-loss record is the biggest, like, you know, from the outside, if you're not really looking at the performance. But this guy has the potential to be the rookie of the year. He got his second win last weekend, but in 10 days, over 68%, almost 300 yards passing per game on average, right? 22 touchdowns to just six picks. 104.7 passer rating on the season, and three rushing touchdowns, Casey. The first drive he was in on, that out of nowhere he was the starter in game two, and he drove the team down and rushed in for the score there on his first drive in the NFL. All of those numbers I just rattled through are a little tick better than everything that Burrow did in each of those categories. So even if Burrow didn't get hurt, I would argue that Herbert was on a pace that was more impressive. The other thing is, of course, Tua, he's on the winning squad. And even though it didn't go so well for him last week and his numbers don't match up to Herbert's, a lot of times the guy that's leading the team to victory is the guy that gets that kind of love. So we'll see how it all pans out. But statistically speaking, this Charger squad has got to be thrilled with the guy that they got running the show. Man, does he look poised for a rookie.
He sure does, man, and you got to wonder if Miami is having any second thoughts about that pick. It's still too early, like I
too
said,
early.
He's in the tuna net right now, but we're not throwing him back in the ocean.
Right.
We got to let that ride out a little bit longer. And big Dave, time. Down in New Orleans, bro, they are cooking with propane and propane accessories.
Bull! Damn it! I'll tell you what, Bobby. It's Taysom Hill, Casey.
Wow.
What an impressive start. And obviously, when we got the word, when it snuck out that he was going to be the guy, we were all antsy and excited to see what's that going to look like. You know, what are they? Is it going to reinvent that? You know, like, is it going to be like Baltimore with Jackson and stuff? But the numbers were great. 18 of 23, 284 total yards, and two rushing TDs. So he brought that running game into the mix there. Obviously, Breeze doesn't bring that at this point. But Taysom Hill, very impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, dude. And what wasn't impressive is the fantasy players on some platforms, including ESPN, that scumbagged Taysom Hill as a tight end or a flex last week. They scored all those QB points, but they will not be able to do that moving forward. ESPN remedied that. So if you got sizzled by that, it is one and done.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Not
all
cool.
Right, Dave, we got the big triple header coming up on Thanksgiving, but it might just be a double header, dude. Bad news coming out of Baltimore, bro.
Yeah, the COVID has struck and struck hard on the Ravens, dude. Five players and four staffers test positive for COVID, and it's not contained just yet, you know, but on the list of guys that we know won't play include Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, running backs, plus two D linemen and Pernell McPhee. I mean, we are down some significant players here for the Ravens in a situation where they've been struggling, and they're going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have been just crushing this year, an arch rival, you know. I mean, wow. Whew. You know, must-win. It seems like a must-win for Baltimore. I mean, that's maybe an exaggeration, but they're currently outside the playoffs looking in as we sit today, Casey. And going down another game like this, and man, this is shorthanded.
Yeah, the good thing about that is it's on Thursday, so they could push to Friday or Saturday or even Sunday to give the Ravens a little more time. Ravens set to host Dallas Cowboys next Thursday night, so that makes it a little trickier. So NFL still wants to have that on Thursday night with all the eyeballs on the TV against the rivals, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dave, speaking of the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're one of two teams still in the pursuit of perfection.
Perfection, of course. They could go undefeated. And, of course, you speak of the New York Jets angling for perfection. Although they flirted with getting a W last week, they are still a perfect 0-10. Everyone else, they're officially mathematically eliminated for those who are doing the math at their houses. Everyone else, out. Casey, still alive, including all your right. Cowboys
You're
and my Chargers.
You're
telling me there's a chance. I'll take
our
it.
Path, dude, our path is not that bad.
No.
I mean, I looked at the upcoming games for the Eagles. They have a tough tough schedule ahead. Cowboys, brutal. Not so bad. Yep. I got to look at the Giants and see what they're up against. But
yeah, well, I'll get into that tough schedule when we preview the games, Casey.
Got that right. All right, Dave, let's move it on to the survival pool or the three strikes. How did you do?
I had the Chargers over the Jets, and like I just mentioned, the Jets were flirting with the W as they were looking to come back against the Chargers. Chargers were stamping them out, but Chargers come up with the big win. It happened to be also the most popular correct pick. So good news, the entire nation is not mad at the Chargers, which I was in fear of, but I was on board with them squirming. So it was, big win there.
Yeah, dude, I was worried about the Chargers. It got a little too cute. So
yeah,
I went in one of my pools with New England, who proceeded to leave a little package in the bed that was a little steamy, so they lost there. And of course I went with the Dolphins against the Broncos and lost there, so I lost both of the big money pools. But
damn,
I'm still in our three strikes pool with two left. We talked about it all year, go with whoever's playing the Jets. I got too cute and it cost me the money yet again.
Yeah,
donkey.
Casey.
I'm a donkey.
Wow. No, Casey.
But, you know, I find a little solace in the fact that the most incorrect pick were the Minnesota Vikings over my Dallas Cowboys, nearly 31%. So take that and put it in your horn and smoke it. Move the chain.
Nice. We had to bring it back to the skull. You know what, Casey? The most popular pick moving into next week, that's Cleveland over Jacksonville. So Jacksonville, when you can't pick the Jets, whoever's playing the Jets, pick whoever's playing the Jags.
Yeah, not the Jets, the Jacks. All right, Dave, let's move this into our fantasy go-back starts of the week. How did you do, brother?
All right, well, you know, I got my win, Casey, but I did my normal fourth place, which is out of the money in our league. Had I switched out Kalen Ballage and Robbie Anderson and stuck in Chase Edmonds and Amari Cooper, I would have had the 7.3 advantage. That would have gotten me third. That would have gotten me in the money. It's my fourth, at least my fourth place of the season. I am the perennial fourth place guy.
Oh, man, Dave. If I could go back in time and not pick up Logan Thomas, who mm-hmm. scored me a .8,
oh,
I might have done
brutal.
A little bit better. But I still crumbled the Cookie Monsters. That's five in a row for the Cowboys. I was
Ooh.
Not in the money, but I was in the win column.
Yep.
And I'm creeping up on those lightning strikes.
Yeah, man.
A big matchup week 13.
Uh-oh. I got the Hypnotoads first. I don't even see anything beyond the Hypnotoads, Casey. Wow, 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 wow.
All right, Dave, let's get out of this fantasy realm and get into some reality. We have some epic games coming up this week, brother. Are you stoked or what?
Dude, it is outrageous. There's some good stuff, but with the Thursday 3-pack, we're going to just talk about the Sunday action, right?
Yeah, we'll give that a little little room to breathe up in there in that turkey. So let's get this started, dude. AFC South, we got the Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 3.5-point favorites at home, and the over-under is 51.
Yeah, and that Titans team, dude, coming off an awesome, awesome win at Baltimore in overtime, where they just imposed their will. And really, I don't know when it was, like midway through the third, I just turned to you and I said, this is starting to feel like the Titans style of football game.
Yep.
And they were still trailing, but I was just feeling the scrappiness of this squad. You know what? They're having a great season again, as they did last year. Tannehill is part of that at over 65%, 22 TDs, just 4 picks on the season. His passer rating of 106.6. He continues to be an elite quarterback now that he's not a Dolphin. What a surprise, right? But AJ Brown, dude, last week only 4 catches. Oh, but one of them was that monster catch where he completely dragged 4 Ravens into the end zone. He was not going to be denied. That is the epitome of this football team. That's what they are.
That's Mike Vrabel out there, bro. That's one of my favorite plays of the season, dude.
Yeah,
so
it was awesome, awesome, just grinding his way into the end zone. Corey Davis, the other guy, he had a great game, 113 yards on 5 grabs last week, too. So he has really established himself. And Jonnu Smith, another touchdown last week. He continues to be tied for the league in tight ends with 7 touchdowns. But this team is about Derrick Henry, dude. Only 44 yards for Henry. through three quarters last week. Looked like the Ravens were having their way. But as usual, this is right around the time I was saying, man, this is starting to turn. Derrick Henry into the fourth and overtime. He finishes with 133 yards, dude, including that game-winning TD in overtime, yeah. A 29-yard march to the end zone. In all, he had 28 carries. That's the most he's had since week one. They've been kind of trying to limit his touches to try and save him. But, I mean, it just seems like this guy feeds off touches, right? On the season, six 100-yard games, which leads the NFL, also over 1,000 yards, 1,079 actually. That also leads the NFL. So he's in a tight battle with Cook, though. On defense, they're still average points-wise and stuff. Not a great pass defense, and they're average against run, but you know what? Their giveaway takeaway is plus 10. That's partly because they don't give the ball away, but also they've got 15 turnovers on the year. They don't get after the quarterback very well with just 12 sacks, but it seems like they make timely plays. And, you know, that's just what you need, the right stop at the right time. They create at some point some down and distance that works for them, and they're good. Unfortunately, Jayon Brown during that game and Ty Sambriello, or Sambrello, placed on injured reserve this week after being banged up in that football game. And that's a big loss losing Jayon Brown, dude. So going to be a tough blow to that defense.
Yeah, that's not the only team that likes to kick ass in the second half, man. These Indianapolis Colts, dude, their game with the Pack was definitely a tale of two halves.
Yep.
On offense in the second half, they were down 28-14 at halftime in the second half. Over 200 yards of offense. And Phillip Rivers, 12-19, 135 and a touchdown. And Jonathan Taylor, man, it was slow running for him too. But in the second half, 12 carries for 64 yards, just over 5 yards a carry there.
Nice.
And a little bad news coming out of that game. Rivers has a little Sergeant Hulk keeping him down, hurt the toe in the fourth quarter. But this guy's got the longest active streak for consecutive starts.
Yeah, toe's not going to stop him.
242. Yeah, he'll say lob it off, do the Ronnie Lott on the foot. He's going to be out there. But, Dave, what most impresses me about these Colts are they're getting major contributions from this rookie class. Jonathan Taylor, I mentioned him earlier. Michael Pittman led them in receptions on Sunday, had a huge touchdown. Now that he's healthy, he's really performing. And safety Julian Blackman, dude, this guy's talking about maybe the defensive rookie of the year. He had that huge forced fumble on MVS on Sunday that really turned that game around. And Rodrigo Blankenship, he was 4 of 5, including the game winner in overtime. So getting tons of contributions there. And the Colts defense, we know how great they are. They had 4 takeaways in this game, including 3 fumbles. And now they have 4 players with at least 2 interceptions. Just locking cats down, man. They frustrated those Packers. They held them to only 3 points in the second half. And that was with like 3 seconds left in the game. Offense came back 17 unanswered in the second half. So impressed by that effort. And a little side note, just talk about the Pack real quick. Rodgers is 1-2 in his career against the Colts when leading by 14 or more points.
Whoa.
Weird. Against
anomaly.
The rest of the league, 95-2. So don't get a lead against the Colts. You have to come from behind. But just impressed with these Colts. And this is going to put one of these teams up for the lead in the AFC South. Colts beat them a couple weeks ago. Titans seeking some revenge, dude.
Man, it's a good football game. All right, Casey, speaking of good football games, how about coming up with this Kansas City Chiefs at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, dude? Chiefs on the road in this one, favored by 3. The over-under is 56. This is a good football game.
Dude, and like, that game on Sunday night was not going well for the Chiefs, and they were still in it, and it didn't – it's crazy because, like, even when it's not great, it's still pretty damn good for them. But let's talk about Mahomes real quick. His last 3 games, over 1,100 yards, 11 TDs, and just 1 interception, dude. The guy is your league MVP. I know Danger Rush is having a great year. I got to give it to Mahomes. Kelce, dude, destroying the Raiders, 8 for 127, including that game-winning touchdown. His 3rd straight game with at least 100 yards. And, you know, it didn't seem like it at the time. Tyreek Hill, dude, he had 11 catches in the game, 102 yards and a touchdown. It didn't seem like he was that involved, but,
right.
You know, that's it, matching his career high. And Clyde the Glide, baby. Maybe his best game of the season, 77 yards on 15 touches, 2 touchdowns, and on the season averaging more than 5 yards per touch, dude.
Wow.
But I think is the scariest about this offense. The Chiefs had a 14-play touchdown drive on their opening possession and then a 16-play drive in the second half, dude. They used to kill you with quick strikes. Now they're adding these methodical, slow, minute-eating drives, dude. If they can play this slow-down ball and pick it up when they want to, man, that is bad news for the rest of the league. Before Sunday, they only had one scoring play of 14, one scoring drive of 14 plays all season long. So a new wrinkle, and that's bad news for the rest of the league. And, dude, how important is the one seed? Well, if you're the Chiefs, it's pretty good. Andy Reid is now 19-3 following a bye, dude. So if the Chiefs sitting in that one seed as the only team to get the bye week,
huge advantage.
Yeah, dude. So, man, it's going to be a good game, dude. And these Chiefs, man, wow. Just wow.
No kidding, right? You don't, man, you can't get far enough in front of them, right, at the end of a football game. Let's talk about the Bucs, though. You know, coming off a disappointing loss to the Rams on Monday night. But Tom Brady on the season, he's maybe not the prime Brady that he had been, but he still ranks fourth in the NFL with 25 touchdown passes. His passer rating just 95, so maybe not as premium as he's been, and he's maybe kind of missing a little bit more downfield or unable to get it downfield as often as he used to. But this is an extremely talented football team, and they're still dialing it in with the Bruce Arians offense and all these new pieces and stuff. So I don't know that they're done getting better, you know, even though Tom Brady's 43, you know. But Mike Evans, that receiver, man, this guy's a monster, dude. He had a touchdown grab against the Rams. He has 9 touchdowns on the season, so he's just very, very difficult. Then Chris Godwin, 7 catches and 53 yards and a touchdown last week. Antonio Brown, they've gotten him a lot more involved. I think they really intentionally did that. He had 8 receptions and at least one run, I think maybe 2 runs. So they're really trying to dial him in into the football game and get him engaged and add another thing for defenses to think about when defending this very talented offense. Also, obviously, let's forget Gronkowski and Cam Brate at the tight end position can get you too. So through the air, tons of talent. In the running back room, though, very talented too. Leonard Fournette's not some old dude. You know, they got him off the scrap heap from Jacksonville. But you know, it's Ronald Jones, the younger, right? And he's averaging 4.9 yards a carry. That's strong, you know what I mean? Gosh, you know. Yeah. And then Leonard Fournette, he was really strong, especially in the second half last week. He had a touchdown too, but really looked like they were trying to really feature him too. But Ronald Jones on the season leading the team in rushing, but it's a nice 1-2 punch. Both backs strong and you know, certainly able to catch the football out of the backfield. This is the number one run defense in the NFL, giving up just 73 yards per game rushing, and top 10 giving up just 23 points per game. So a really, really good defense. Just average in the past, though. So that's going to be tough in this matchup against Mahomes and a team that can obviously get you with the weapons that the Chiefs bring. But they are 5th in sacks. That might be huge in this game. It's hard to get to Mahomes and to make him uncomfortable. Maybe they can do it. Levante David, Devin White, Shaquille Barrett. This might be the best trio of linebackers in the NFL. And don't forget up front, they've got Ndamukong Suh and Jason Pierre-Paul. He got an interception with last week. I think he got all 3 digits on that football and scooped it in.
Tucked that thing away, baby.
That was, you know, almost a game-changing pick. But you know what? They've got a ton of talent on both sides of the football. This game, I mean, Super Bowl preview, we could, you know, speculate. It's very possible.
Yeah, dude. And if, you know, if the Buccaneers lose this one, that's 2 in a row for them. Luckily, they have their bye coming up, so that's pretty well timed out for, you know, a guy Brady's age. But, man, desperation sinking in if these Bucs do lose that game, dude.
It would be very frustrating, but.
Oh, yeah. All right, Dave. We've been getting some pretty good games from the primetime the last couple weeks, man. We got NFC North battle here. We got the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers are 7.5-point favorites at home. Over under, only 45.
Yeah, and we'll get it started with the Bears here. The Bears coming off their bye, so good news for them. They've got maybe rested up a little bit, but they were 5-1, Casey. Now they've dropped down to 5-5, so not a good trend for this Bears squad. And as Nick Foles maybe used up most of his magic on that comeback against the Falcons when they inserted him for Mitchell Trubisky. Actually, they've got one win lately, and it was actually a good one against Tampa Bay. So that's, you know, that's a solid quality win. But Nick Foles, not phenomenal on the season since coming in for Trubes. 10 touchdowns, just 8 and 8 picks, and just an 81 quarterback rating. So, you know, significantly below average.
We're not even sure he's going to be able to play with that hip injury, dude.
Exactly. We might be going back to Trubes, so, or whoever the hell they want to march out there. Well, that'll be interesting.
Punky QB, known as McMahon.
How about David Montgomery running? He's only got 3.6 yards per carry and only one touchdown on the season. This is, they're obviously, they lost, you know, Cohen, but, you know, that's just
that
not.
That line is trash.
It's terrible,
I don't
dude.
Throw that out there lightly.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm not putting it on the running back. You know, a lot of times it's not the back, and you know, you got to run through a hole. You know, wide receiver. For a top wide receiver, obviously, Allen Robinson. He came into the season looking for a contract. We'll see about that. This is a hard season to judge him on, though. You know, but last week, just 6 receptions, just 43 yards. You know, that was the big yardage guy. And Patterson, you know, he's been more of a part of this offense, both from scrimmage. He had almost 50 yards from scrimmage last week, combined rushing and receiving. And then, of course, the 104-yard return. But they can't really count on a kick return, you know, to help them out every week. Jimmy Graham was a Packer. Maybe he'll, you know, come into this game with a little chip on his shoulder. I don't know, looking for a big game out of him. Bears defensively, they're pretty good, you know, no doubt about that, giving up just 20.9 points a game. That's sixth best in the NFL. And they're top 10 in most of the statistical categories, but they're just average at getting after the quarterback, and you really don't want to leave you know, Rodgers, thank you, back there,
Rodgers.
Comfortable. Especially, you never want to play Rodgers after he gets disappointed in a football game like he was last week. So that's not a, it's not good timing. Defensively, though, I was talking about their defense. Roquan Smith, he had coming off a great game, 14 tackles, 3 tackles for losses and a sack. Khalil Mack, of course, a phenomenal player, but, you know, they're going to have their hands full against this Packers squad.
Yeah, I did. And last week, Packers woke up in a great mood. They were leading 28-14 at halftime, dude. That defense finally showed up. We got them 2 turnovers in the first half. The offense turned it into 14 points. They were feeling great.
Yeah.
But
what the hell happened?
The second half happened, dude.
Yeah.
Only 2 drives in the third quarter, and both of them were 3-and-out. I put that a little on the O and a little on the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, a win over these Bears will give the Packers a 3-game lead in the North and pretty much lock that division up and a playoff berth. They're still in the mix to try to get that one seed, which would do them a solid, but they got to find more on defense and on offense, have that running game be a little more involved. Man, Aaron Jones is not having the season he had last year.
Yeah.
And getting Lazard back, he had a few grabs last week, and Tonyan got back into the end zone. But it doesn't seem like the pack is flowing like it was. So they'll struggle in this game a little bit, but it should be that dub. And then they still have their sights on getting that one seed in the NFC, but it definitely starts Sunday night against the Bears.
No doubt about it. This is a critical game for sure, like you said, for the Packs and for the Bears if they want to have a chance. All right, Case, moving along. Big game at Seattle at the Philadelphia Eagles. You're saying the Eagles? What? But hey, you know what? They're in first place, Casey. Seattle Seahawks.
To brag about,
no, Seattle Seahawks are favored in this game by 5 on the road in Philadelphia. The over/under is 50.5.
Dave, and the only reason the Eagles are in first place is because they couldn't beat the Bengals.
Okay.
They didn't lose to them, but they couldn't beat them. Just remember that, Dave.
It's the half loss.
Yeah.
Well, give them a half win, though, yeah. Casey. That's the way I look at it. It's a half win, Casey. I'm that kind of guy.
I'm here to talk about the Seahawks, though, dude. And, you know, the last couple weeks, Russell Wilson hadn't been great. 7 turnovers in 2 games, and both of those were losses. Against Arizona last Thursday night, 0 turnovers. And guess what? They won that game. But part of that was due to the effectiveness of Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
As a team, the Hawks rushed for 165 yards in that game.
And that's Pete Carroll football, baby.
Yeah, they finally had that balance they've been looking at. And Russ isn't throwing 50 or 60 times. They had 31 rushes to just 28 passes. You mentioned it. That's the formula that they like. That's what Pete Carroll wants to do. And it looks like they're going to get Chris Carson back for this one. And they might be getting Penny back, too. That'd be a nice addition. He's
kind of
that home run hitter.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at a nice trio with Carlos Hyde there. But, Dave, a couple weeks ago, I said LOB 2.0 was on the horizon. And much like the demise of Snake Plissken, that might have been a bit exaggerated. But then last week happened, dude. And now Snacks Harrison up front and Carlos Dunlap that came over in that trade with the Bengals.
He looked good.
Yeah, he did. And a healthy Jamal Adams. Jamal has 5.5 sacks on the year. This defense is definitely trending in the right direction. I mentioned Dunlap. He's got 3.5 sacks and 7 quarterback hits in just 3 games. He's been a great addition to that team, especially, you know, they had been missing that pass rusher on the edge. This guy is doing a great job of it. And, Dave, since the second half of that Rams game 6 quarters ago, the Seahawks have only allowed 27 points and have gotten 4 sacks. They were giving up about 35 a game. So that's happening the way that they want to go, dude.
Yeah.
And this is a Monday night game, and the Seahawks, since 2010, 32-8-1 in primetime games. This is an important game for the Seahawks. They still have dreams of being that number one seed in the NFC, too. So if they can keep those turnovers clean and get that effort out of that defense, and now that they're running the ball a little bit, man, I don't think anybody wants to see this Seahawks team, dude.
Yeah, and you know who else has dreams of that number one seed, Casey? The Philadelphia. No. They're just trying to somehow hang on and win the division and make the playoffs. But I'll tell you, they're coming off of that loss last week to the Brownies, sitting at 3-6-1, but first place in the NFCs by that half game margin over 3 other squads. They're looking, if they look ahead, Casey, they'll look at this game and they'll think, God, we got to win this one, because up ahead, it's the Packers, the Saints, the Cardinals, then the Cowboys and the Redskins. So by the time they,
about that week 16.
Yeah. Hey, by the time they get to the divisional games, they will have had to put together a couple of wins against some teams that they will be underdogs against. Let's be honest, you know, they are going to be underdogs in those games, and they got to find a way to win a couple of them if they want to get to the playoffs here. So they are technically in the negative in the points for and against category, -3.4. They're giving up more points than they're scoring. So bad sign, but they could still put it together. But there have been tons of injuries on this team, especially of the O-line, and that's led to significant pressure on Wentz, who's just over 58%, 14 touchdowns, 14 picks. This is not a good season for Wentz at a 73 passer rating. And he has been in a turnover machine, and he hasn't handled the pressure well, let's be honest. But he's largely responsible for the third worst amount of turnovers in the season. That's 20 on the season for this offense. And he's throwing picks. He's getting fumble sacked, you know, the whole deal. But the other side of the equation, he has 2 or more TDs in 5 of his last 6 starts. So he has done some good things in there. They got to figure out a way to keep him from taking hits back there. You know, unfortunately, a lot of receivers injured too. DeSean Jackson IR'd a long time ago. Alshon Jeffers has been banged up. Jalen Reagor. These are the guys they expected to be the performers. It's been Greg Ward who's led the team, and this guy Fulgham who's emerged as a playmaker for him, which is great. It's good news. But, you know, and Dallas Goedert has played well, although Ertz is out. So again, for everything that good you can say, you could just also note an injury as well. Miles Sanders has been pretty exciting. You know, not a bad running back at all, despite the O-line conditions. But he's been banged up too. Boston Scott has been the dude who's really handled the rock when he can't can't do the load. Defensively, they're decent. You know, they're sixth against the pass, but they're not as good against the run. And that's, you know, that's a pretty tough situation when you're a bad football team. Their turnover ratio, as I mentioned before, with all those turnovers, they're -9. That's near the bottom of the league. And the defense has just 11 takeaways, which is, you know, it's okay, but not when you're giving the ball up as many times as they are. They have got to figure out how to protect Wentz, get the ball out of his hands, and at least not lose the turnover ratio. They got to get that passing game going. You know, with the Seattle Seahawks, you talked about their defensive turnaround, but they're still statistically the worst defense against the pass in the NFL. They have to get the ball out of Wentz's hands before he gets sack fumbled and throws a pick. You know, get it out quick, you know, yeah. And they'll have a chance. They'll have a chance if they can play fast and get
that's
the ball
the
out fast.
That's the theme of this show, Dave. You're telling me there's a chance.
That's the good news, Casey. You're still in it, except the Jets.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well.
Okay. There's the draft, though. We love
that's
the
right.
draft.
They're on the clock. Oh, man. So many ways you guys can check out the Football Dudes, the Trend Zone, what you're listening to now. If you stumbled across it, guess what?
Good
it's
news.
It's available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry, wherever the hell you get your podcast, the Trend Zone is there.
Yeah, or subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram or Facebook, and Facebook, really. Follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA, all the good stuff there.
Or just go to footballdudes.com.
Oh, yeah.
That is going to do it for this episode of the Trend Zone. For Dave, I'm Case. We want to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with your friends. Well, maybe not your friends.
Your Zoom calls.
Family. Well, at least you'll have football. So if
Nothing else,
we can all come together with that. Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you guys next week.